بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله المغفر لنا ولشيخنا ولجميع المسلمين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: باب فروض الوضوء وصفته. فروضه ستة: غسل الوجه والفم والأنف منه، وغسل اليدين، ومسح الرأس، ومنه الأذنان، وغسل الرجلين، والترتيب، والموالاة، وهي أن لا يؤخر غسل عضو حتى ينشف الذي قبله. والنية شرط لطهارة الأحداث كلها، فينوي رفع الحدث أو الطهارة لما لا يباح إلا بها. فإن نوى ما تسن له الطهارة كقراءة أو تجديدا مسنونا ناسيا حدثه ارتفع، وإن نوى غسلا مسنونا أجزى عن واجب، وكذا عكسه. وإن اجتمعت أحداث توجب وضوءا أو غسلا فنوى بطهارته أحدها ارتفع سائرها.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We get to go back into the bab of فروض الوضوء. We've covered the first few, so I will just mention them and then we'll get into the adilla and stuff of the new ones. طيب. So what are the obligatory aspects of wudu? And again, I want to emphasize here that this is obligatory knowledge. I mean, this is fardul ayn on every Muslim to know. And before today's dars, I'm going to mention or I'm going to ask some questions. And inshallah, those that are watching the video can pause it and write down the answers or think it through in their own mind and then see if you're right or wrong. Why? Because these questions that I'm going to ask are for knowledge that is obligatory. You should know it. It's fard al-ayn on you. Tayyib. If you go to make wudu, for example, and you miss a part of your wudu, you notice that your elbow didn't get washed, the bottom of the elbow, for example, what do you do? Can you just go back and wash the dry part and then go back to salah? Do you have to repeat the whole wudu? Right? When you make niyyah for wudu, do you need niyyah? Is it just like washing your face in the morning? Can you just walk through a rain pour or swim through a lake without intention? And if all those parts get washed, do you have wudu? If you make niyyah, how do you make niyyah? And this is something many people don't. And Zadul Mustaqni'a, the beauty of it is it gets into a lot of those masail that are obligatory for the tulab ilms everyday ibadah. Tayyib? But sometimes they don't get covered in other beginning mutun. So when we talk about the furud of wudu, tayyib, there are six, but you can number them differently. So don't get caught up in the six. Get caught up in what they are. Ghusl al-wajh, I need to wash the face. And as the Mu'allif mentions here, and as we discussed in the last dars, you should memorize these. Everybody should know these. This is not a students of knowledge thing. Every Muslim should know this. Tayyib, from that is washing the mouth and nose. So a part of the obligatory, so let's say you have a flight that's taking off and you're about to miss it and you just have to make wudu and you want to do it as minimum as possible, you still have to do madmada and istinshaq. Tayyib? And then you have to wash the face. So to wash the face, including putting water in the mouth and nose, is fard. This is an obligatory aspect. The Mu'allif has that as one. You could put that as three. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that you know that those aspects are obligatory. غسل اليدين, washing the hands. And here, hands is arms, not kaf. Like what we say hand here, we usually mean kaf. Yad can mean the hand as well, but here the meaning and what usually is yad is from here, from the beginning of your tips of your fingers all the way, and in this mas'ala, including the elbows. And we'll talk about why including the elbows, inshallah. So here you wash these two arms, forearms, from the tips of the fingers up and including the elbows. This is obligatory. This is fard. If you miss it on accident and you realize it, your wudu is invalid. You have to go repeat your wudu. We'll talk about what you can just wash and what you have to repeat wudu for and when, inshallah. But these are aspects. Tayyib, making masha of the head. Masha, to wipe. There is a difference between washing, ghusl, and masha, and wiping. When you wash something, like some people I see they make wudu, they just take some water and they just go like this and they walk out. No, that's not washing. To rub the parts of the body, this is mustahab, this is not fard, but to at least wash them where the water reaches all over and you're washing that body part, this is fard. But for the head, you don't need to wash it. You don't need to get in there and just get, no, rather you wet the hands and you just wipe over. But to wipe over the head, وَمِنْهُ الْأُذْنَانِ, and from the head are the two ears. Now, like I said, the muallif now has these as three, meaning one is the face, one is the arms, one is the head. You could number those differently. You could add the ears to be separate. But because the hadith about the udnan being from the head, the muallif puts it together. Tayyib. Then, ghaslul rajlain, to wash the two feet. Tayyib. This is where we left off in the last dars. So this is now the fourth of the things that are fard from wudu. Tayyib. Washing the two feet. Again, without khilaf of ulama, this is something that is obligatory, having to do with يعني, the wudu. Because as we mentioned, يعني, the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah includes arjulukum, or in some of the qiraat, arjulikum ila al-ka'bain. We talked about in the last dars, but I'll mention a little bit here. So here we find ila al-ka'bain, yani to the ankles. But does that include the ankle or not? What is correct is that it does include the ankles. إلى المرافق means up to the elbow, but it includes the elbow. Tell you, what is the dalil for that? When we say إلى, يعني to, in linguistically, at some times it includes the destination and sometimes it doesn't. Tell you? So don't just go pure linguist on me here, right? For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, The aura of the man is from the navel to the knee. But from that, we see that the navel and the knee itself is not a part of the aura. Even though you shouldn't expose them because you don't want to get close to exposing the aura. But yani, this is something in this situation, ila is used differently. How do we understand? Because even when you speak English, for example, if I said, man, yani, it's empty all the way from San Diego to LA. Yani, there's no house, which is not true, but just as an example. There's no houses. Well, I wouldn't include San Diego and LA a part of that. I would say from San Diego to LA. But if I said there's a wildfire that engulfs the whole area all the way from San Diego to LA, it's all burning, that would include San Diego and LA. So linguistically, it could go either way. So how do we, in the Sharia, say whether that is or not? We go to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the hadith that is usually mentioned, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and also reported by Aisha radiallahu anha, about isbughul wudu, yani to perfect your wudu. And in it, when Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu explained it, he washed all the way to a saq, yani to the upper part of the shin, yani lower part of the shin. And in other ahadith, when we look at the washing, it always included the ankles. Another dalil for that is the masha on the khuf. That this would be only when the khuf included covering the ankles. Tayyib, I'm going to go on a little bit of a side tangent here, just a little bit. Because, and inshallah, these masail are beneficial. When we talk about this, yani from those ahadith and from the Quran itself, no doubt the Jamhur al-Ulema, and I did not find khilaf on this, maybe some alim did, but yani what I found from the different madahib, everybody agreed that the foot, including the ankle, needs to be washed. I'm not claiming ijma', because to claim ijma', you have to have yani, a consensus that has been reported and checked. But at least when I was looking through the different books, I found that this is something agreed upon. And they said, and we're not on the bab of masha ala jawrabain or khufain, but just as an example, they said that the khuf that you can make masha on has to cover the ankles. Because the ankles are exposed, you cannot make masha on it. And at certain times, Rasulullah ﷺ, when he didn't allow, for example, in Hajj for people to wear the khuf, then he said to cut the part to be lower than the ankles, and then it was permissible to show that it's no longer applicable as a proper khuf in its sense. So, from that istidlalan, you can also take that those socks or those khuf that have holes that expose the ankles, you cannot make mas'an. Meaning, if you took your socks and you cut them, and you wore just the part that's under the ankles. The ankles were totally exposed. You could not make mas'ah on them. Ijma'an. Tayyib. Then why is it that some of the ulama later said even big holes that expose most of the foot can still be made mas'ah on? See, it goes against the illah that's used here.
And this is the problem with some of the people that are weak in usul al-fiqh. They will use one usul in one place and not in the other. Tayyib? Khair. That was a little bit silent, but let's get back to where we're at. Tayyib. So, to wash the arms, now when we go back to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fi'l of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that Rasulullah ordered washing all the way, including the elbow, and ordered the sahaba to wash the foot, including the ka'bain. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordained this, and we'll talk about those that missed the spot and stuff later, but from that, and from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, and from the continuous practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we make the tafsir of the Qur'an. What is meant, إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ وَإِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, is that it includes the Ka'bain and Marafiq. Across the board from the ulama, because of the adilla from the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his teaching of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Tayyib, so this is now four that we have mentioned. The next that is mentioned is a tartib. What does that mean? Yani, to make wudu in order. Tayyib, now we have some khilaf of ulama. Regarding washing the feet, including the ankles, I didn't find any khilaf, any madahib. You go to the Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali books, you find that they also, you got to wash the feet in wudu. It's in the Quran, it's in the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No khilaf there. But regarding tartib, do you have to do it in order or not? Now we find some khilaf of ulama. Some of the ulama said that tartib is fard. And that is what we're studying in the matan here, that the tartib is from the furud of wudu. It is obligatory. You cannot go backwards or change the order. You cannot go and wash your feet first and then your mouth and nose. And this is the mu'tamid opinion of the Hanabila. And this is the mu'tamid opinion of the Shawafi'a. Some of the books, like Al-Mughridun Al-Afham and things, they mention this to be from Mufradat of the Hanabila, but that is wrong. This is not from Mufradat, because the Shawafi'i, I looked in the books of An-Nawawi and others, and we find that it is no doubt also mentioned as the Mu'tamid, the relied upon opinion of the Shawafi'i. So, both of those Madhaib, Hanabila and Shawafi'i, take that tartib is fard. It's obligatory, it's wajib, you must do it. Tayyib. Two of the other madhahib, which is the madhab Imam Malik, Al-Malikiyya, and the madhab Abu Abu Hanifa, Al-Hanafiyya, take that, no, the tartib is sunnah. The tartib is not fard. So now, you have two opinions amongst ulama, so you have to look at adilla. The first thing we look at when we look at adilla, I mean, we don't just take an opinion blindly and say, okay, this sheikh took it, khalas, nah. And inshallah, this is for the more advanced students who should inshallah learn the adilla and follow the dalil. The first thing you always have to look at is the Quran. One of the questions that came in the group, and I'm going to address it here, even though I'll address it in the group again inshallah, is why is niyyah a shart and not fard, for example, or rukn? So you always have to look at, first thing, what is the difference linguistically between a shart and a rukn and a farida, and we'll talk about that, and a wajib. But anything that's ordered clearly in the Quran or in the sahih ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it leads us to know that it's obligatory. But then between that, we get to the issue of forgetfulness or not forgetfulness. Tayyib. So now, when we see something like the tasmiyah, Rasulullah saying there is no wudu without tasmiyah, but is there a clear order in the Quran and the hadith that establishes this to be ruknan, that even if we take forgetfulness, you cannot leave it? We don't find that. We do see the Rasulullah ordained for people to say tasmiyah, but not with the way of showing yani, that if it is forgotten, even it is batil. And we'll talk about, like, for example, if you don't wash one of these parts, is it batil or not, and why that's so, in inshallah, coming up. But in a tasmiyah, we don't find that, even though we said that it is obligatory, because there's no wudu without it. But Rasulullah didn't tell a sahabi that did you say tasmiyah? He said no, he said go back and redo your wudu. So here we find this to be wujub. It is obligatory because ordered and because there is no wudu without it. But it's a wajib, not a fard, in the sense that we're using in wudu here. Why? Because if you forgot it accidentally, your wudu would still be valid. Tasmiyah, saying Bismillah. Tayyib, now we go to the issue of at-tartib. If we look at the Quran, we find a hukam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained wudu to be done in a particular manner. Tayyib, he mentioned the wajh first, right? And then the yadain, the arms, and then the masha on the ras, the head, and then rijlain, ila al-ka'bain. So you look at a tartib that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained in the Quran. Tayyib. So this is a dalil for the Hanabila and the Shawafi'ah that it is fard because it's in the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered this. This is bifil amr. The Malikiyah and the Hanafiya, they reply to this. I don't just read like one madhab books and come. I went and I spend time and look at the Adilla and the proofs of the other madhahib as well. They said that the waw is of atf. Yani, al waw al atf. That is true. It's ma'tuf, what's connected. Atf doesn't necessitate tartib. For example, if I said, dakhala Adam wa Ishaq. Adam and Ishaq entered. I said Adam wa Ishaq, but I didn't necessitate that Adam came first. طيب. But if I said dakhala Adam thumma Ishaq, that Adam entered and then Ishaq, then you would have said that the tartib is necessitated. طيب. In the Quran you have waw al-atf. So the Hanaf, Ahnaf, Hanafiyya, and the Malikiyah, they respond with this. Tayyib. But there is a response back to that. Tayyib. Which is that, yes, there is atf. But then when you go to the sifatul wudu to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu, for example, in the hadith of Imran in Bukhari, he explains the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, thumma. Yani, he uses a tartib. And if you look at all of the marfu' ahadith, yani all of the ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that mention the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not a single time has that tartib been changed. Tayyib. So when you have a tartib ordered in the Quran, and then you have the tartib through mutawatir, yani through numerous ahadith established in the sunnah, with the alfaz of tartib, yani with the harf, yani the thumma, it's a harf, it's not a law, but it is, shows tartib. So then you say, is there a qarina? Did Rasulullah ever change up the tartib? Did he ever show jawaz by leaving it? La. Tayyib. So now we don't go to aqwal of sahaba and tabi'in, then no, we have the adilla from the Quran. And from the marfu sahih ahadith that showed that tartib is fard. Tayyib. Now, when we go past that, we find mawala, which is the next fard in line, and this is the sixth. This is the last of the fara'id. The Hanabila, as Zad al-Mustaqni here is mentioning, and you can find this across the board in the books of the Hanabila and Al-Insaf and Al-Muntaha and Sharh al-Muntaha and Al-Ikna'a and Kashf al-Kina'a, that they took that to do everything connected, to make wudu in a connected manner is fard. Tayyib, now you have some khilaf again. According to the Hanabila, this is fard. According to Imam al-Shafi'i, from one of his aqwal, yani we always talk about the different aqwal of the Hanabila or on Imam Ahmad, but people forget, the other imam have this as well. Imam al-Shafi'i has a jadid and qadim, yani he has an old madhab and a new madhab after he traveled. So I mean, there's almost two madhahib just from Imam Shafi'i, just not even talking about al-Nabawi and the tarjihat of the Shafi'i later on, no. And yani Ibn Hajar al-Haythami and others who gave their own tarjihat and Rafa'i, no. Like from Shafi'i. So Imam Shafi'i, one of his aqwal agrees with this, but not, that's not the madhab. That's not the Shafi'i madhab. But one of the aqwal of Imam Shafi'i is also here. There's also the madhab al-Awza'i. And Imam Malik, it's also his madhab, but Imam Malik said, إِلَّا بِأُذْرٍ يعني except when there is a necessity or any other an excuse. So it is also Imam Malik, but Imam Malik gave a caveat, a little bit different. طيب, this we're talking about connectivity, موالد. طيب, according to the madhab of Imam Shafi'i and one of his aqwal, it is sunnah. يعني to do the wudu in a continuous manner is sunnah, according to Shafi'i. And this is the opinion of Abu Hanifa and the Mu'tamid of the Hanafi madhab. That you don't have to do wudu in a, and it's sunnah, you should do it that way, but if there is a long gap, according to the Shafi'i madhab and the Hanafi madhab, yani it's fine. Tayyib, like I said before, let's go to the adilla. Let's go to the proofs. When we look at the proofs, there are many ahadith yani we could look at, but before we go too deep, I will mention what does it mean, mawala. طيب موالات يعني connectivity. The مؤلف here explained that he says that means that one limb does not become dry before the washing of the next. And then there is some عرف and عادات that we have to play in here. What does that mean? طيب, is there a hadith that says that if one limb dries, the mawala of the wudu is invalidated? No. So where did we get this from? Yani, ulama, did they just make it up? No. Rather, hadith Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and this has been reported, other sahaba, there are other adilla as well. Tayyib, but here we find that one of the sahaba, he came and there was the size of a fingernail that was dry on his foot. Tayyib. There are other ahadith as well that mention different dry spots, but this is the one I'm going to first begin with. This is in Sahih Muslim. Here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeing that, told him, irji', and he go back, fahsan al-wudu', and perfect your wudu'. So the man went back, faraja'a, thumma salla. Then he made wudu', and then he made salah. Tayyib. So, what does this tell you? The first thing it tells you is that the mawala or the continuity in the wudu is obligatory. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have told the person, just wash that spot. But because he had already done wudu and he already come out and the yani he was already about to stand for salah and a time had passed where his limbs were drying, that tells us that Rasulullah didn't allow him to just go back and wash that part. Rather, he made him go back and redo the wudu. Another hadith, Rasulullah told him that to return, make wudu. This is different hadith. This is in the Musnad Imam Ahmad and Al-Bayhaqi and Al-Shaykh Al-Bani and Irwal Ghalil has authenticated it. Where Rasulullah told the Sahabi who had a dry spot to go back, redo your wudu and redo your salah. Tayyib. Now, this is another strong dalil. Why? Because if it was sunnah, and if any part could have been left dry or just washed out of tartib, without tartib, then that sahabi wouldn't have to repeat the salah. Right? Or he could just go wash that one part, he wouldn't have to repeat the wudu. Tayyib. So these are adilla, and these are sahih ahadith that show that the tartib and the mawala, which is the continuity, is obligatory. It is fard in wudu. If you don't do it in that way, if you leave something. Now, I told you we're going to go back to the issue of tasmiyah and why it's wajib and not fard. In a tasmiyah, Rasulullah ordained it, but he didn't ordain that if somebody forgets it, they have to go repeat the wudu. But here, when you left a part of your body dry, Rasulullah didn't just say that you should have done it. He told him, go back and redo the wudu. So then the ulema said, at-tasmiyah is wajib. It's obligatory because it's been ordained. But if you forget it, you don't have to repeat your wudu. We don't have a dalil for that. But these other six, these are obligatory. These are fard. If you forgot them on accident, like these two examples we gave from two sahaba, two different sahaba, each one of them had to go back and redo the wudu. The one who had not made salah yet, he just had to do wudu and then make salah. But the other one who had finished the salah, he had to go redo the wudu and redo his salah. Tayyib. Now, this is a strong dalil that the Hanabila in this qawl and the Shawafi', this is the qawl of a Shafi'i as well, that the one of the aqwal that we mentioned of a Shafi'i, even though it's not the madhab of Shawafi', but this shows that the Hanabila are correct in this opinion because of the adilla. And those from the Shafi'i madhab and the Hanafi madhab, and there's no disrespect, this is all out of understanding the adilla, their adilla do not respond to these ahadith in a manner that you would say, okay, well, there is no dalil that says Rasulullah said the mawala. No, that's true. But it doesn't mean that Rasulullah is going to mention the word. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that if you missed a spot, you can't just go back and wash the spot, you have to redo the wudu, it shows that the timing and the tartib are obligatory. Tayyib. Now, as I mentioned, we want to talk about some practical implementation of these as well. So, what is the definition, of how do you know if your connectivity is correct or not? That if the limb that you were washing before it dried on its own, then you have, the gap is too long, you have to redo the wudu. If it had not, meaning that if you're making wudu, I'm going to ask some questions. You're making wudu. You forgot to put water in your mouth and nose. You washed your hands, kaf, the hands. Then you did the face. You did your arms, including your elbows. You did the masah on the ras. You did your ears. You're about to do your foot. And he said, you know what? I didn't do madbada and istinshaq. What do you do? This is fard al-ayn ilm. So what do you do? Start over?
Because if according to this, because if there's mawala.
Tayyib, why would you wash your hands again?
Huh?
Kafain.
Because
tartib is wajib. So you washed your hands, right? You're still making wudu. You missed the tartib. So can you go back to the spot that you missed and continue from there? Excellent. So, washing the hands, what is that?
It's mustahab.
And you already did it. And that is not ordained in the Quran. This was a good question. So, washing the hands is not ordained in the Quran. Yad is actually washing the arms. That's a different step. So, here you wash the hands, which is more of a cleansing to prepare for wudu. It's a part of wudu, but it's a cleansing. So now if you went back, you missed the madbada istinshaq, you went back to that and did the madbada istinshaq and did everything after it in order, you're fine. You would not redo that. Tayyib? Different case example. You're making wudu, you did everything correctly, you just washed your feet, you just got up and you look down and you notice that your ankle's dry. What do you do?
Which ankle, the right or the left?
Doesn't matter. Either one. You pick.
Because if it's the left, if it's the right one, then you can't, because I don't know how to change.
Good. You're wrong, but that's good. But that's good. Tell you, if it's the right ankle, right, you're saying that the left ankle was after the right ankle, right? So you can't go back in tartib. That's wrong. Why? Because the tartib is ajza. Tartib is Rijlain, not al-yumna wal-yusra. Al-yumna and yusra is mustahab. Remember, we talked about the sunan? See, this is why it was a good example, even if you're wrong in it, right? And this is good because this ilm is fardul ayn on you. People always ask me this, Shaykh, I want to study, but I want to memorize the Quran first. Great. I want to learn Arabic first. Great. But this ilm, you have to know. I mean, before you're a hafiz, before you're a linguist, before you're a mufassir, before you're an expert of mustalah al-hadith, this is fard. Because this is your everyday ibadah. Tayyib. So, if it's your foot, right or left, right? Because the yumna and yusra are only mustahab. Here, you just finished wudu, you can just wash your feet.
If it's not, you just finished wudu, right?
Tayyib. But if you notice it and you already left the place of wudu and you're already there for salah, and then you think, oh man, you know what, I think, and your foot's already drying, now you have to go back, repeat the wudu, because the mawala is interrupted. You forgot your arms, right? And you were at your feet. Now, yani there's some khilaf ulama on this. Some of the ulama said you can go back to the arms because the rest was invalid anyway, and up to the arms was valid, and you can continue from there. Some said repeat it. But here is a difference. Feet is a difference because feet is the last thing you do. But even then, it depends. Tayyib. So, which is a good point to bring up, that the fard of it is the yani limb. For example, if I was to make wudu and I did istinshaq before madmada, or I washed my left arm before my right arm, is my wudu valid?
No, it's repeating.
Tell you, I'm making wudu. I wash my hand, my kafain, 3 times. I put water in my nose, istinshaq, istinthar, before madmada. Sunnah, we mentioned, is madmada first, then istinshaq, right? I did the nose first. I did both of them, but I did the nose first. And when I was doing the arms, what I should have done is my right arm, that is correct, but I did my left arm first. And then I did my right arm. Is my wudu valid? Excellent. You're right. Should I do that? No. And it's not sunnah. Don't be like, it's all right. No, it's not all right. But it's valid. Tayyib. And this is very important things to for us to understand.
Tayyib.
When we talked about the limbs and their drying and this, yani, there's a lot of tafsil I could go into, but I won't, inshallah, just for the sake of time. But the next thing the Mu'allif discusses is a niyyah, the intention. Tayyib? And that's very important because a niyyah is something where, yani, for every ibadah, you find it to be a prerequisite, right? So here the Mu'allif then gets into some details about the niyyah, because one of the problems with Tulab ilm today, they learn the hukum, a niyyah is obligatory. For example, and we'll talk about the khilaf on this issue. But they don't really understand how to implement that. And I'm going to ask some questions about this to see. And then the reason I ask questions is because when you get questioned and then you hear the answer, you remember it better. This is the way of the Quran. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Allah subhanahu doesn't really want to answer from you. He's asking you a question so that when he tells you what happened, you've already been thinking about it. This is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find many ahadith where he asked the Sahaba radiyallahum and then he gave them the answer. And this is something in psychology or in, if you study education, you know, it's a way of teaching. Tayyib. So, first thing, the Mu'allif says, An-niyya shartun lit-taharati tayyib. Al-hadathi, but we'll talk about that. Awwalan, he said it's a shart. What's the difference between a shart and a rukn or a fard or a wajib, right? So, we already talked about the wajib and fard, right? But a shart fi al-lugha, yani linguistically, is an yani al-alamat, is or alama, yani a sign. Ashrat al-sa'a. The signs of the Day of Judgment. These are, this is linguistically. And you have shurut, which is jama'a, mudhakkar salim, or, jama'a taksir. And then you also have ashrat, which is jama'a taksir. Both of them are used for shart. Tayyib. Rukn, umud, yani, it is from, it means a pillar. These are linguistic meanings. Shart, and this is a little usul al-fiqh, but I'm giving it so you can understand. A shart, according to the ulama that gave it a technical definition, istalahan. Tayyib. Shart, linguistically, I told you what it means. But in a technical definition is something that is obligatory, it is needed, ولكن هو خارج العمل. It is outside the action itself, ومستمر, يعني, and it is continuous. طيب. For example, if you begin salah and you don't have the niyyah for salah, طيب. In the middle of salah, you're like, oh man, I should be praying. What am I doing? Am I praying? Like, what am I doing, right? Or what salah am I praying? I don't even know. Like, and I know it's a ba'id example, but apparently it happens because it's been mentioned in the books of fiqh. That salah now is invalid. You have to repeat the salah because you didn't have a niyyah. And niyyah is قبل يعني عمل. Before the action, you have to make the niyyah. طيب. If you're making salah and you make your niyyah, do you have, once you've made that niyyah, do you have it continuously or is it something that's gone? No, you have it. You made your niyyah, khalas. I mean, this is your niyyah. It's mustamir. Unlike arkan. Arkan are dakhil or fara'id, you can use istalahan, are inside the actual amal and they are not necessarily mustamir. Yani, for example, ruku' is a rukun from salah. Can you make ruku' before salah? Can you make ruku' before salah? Right? So, this is dakhil fil amal. Do you make ruku' the whole salah? No. There's a part for ruku' and then you're done. So, these are differences between shurut and arkan. They're both obligatory. If you don't do them, and if you don't have a shart, your salah is invalid. Your other amal, wudu, whatever is invalid. If you don't fulfill the arkan or the farad, it's invalid. But these are the differences, istalahan. So, Mu'allif says, an-niyyah shartun. Now, some of the a'imma and ulema wrote the niyyah to be a rukun, not the hanabila. I don't want to go too far into khilaf here, but I'm just explaining why. Because they felt that the niyyah is يعني not مستمر. يعني once you make niyyah, you're done with it and you move forward. But that's a mistake because once you make the niyyah, it lasts through the amal. It's not something you leave, like you don't get out of niyyah. Like you get out of ruku', get out of sujood, you don't. But khair, this is just to explain some of the khilaf. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and the madhab al-Hanafiyya, they said that a niyyah is not obligatory in wudu'. I looked up al-Hidayah and Fath al-Qadir and Mukhtasar al-Quduri, and I was reading a very interesting perspective from Ibn Abidin, one of the great Hanafi scholars that I found to be very academic, Ibn Abidin. They said a niyyah is not a shart, it's not wajib, it's not a rukun. You don't need it for wudu. Good to have, but tayyib. What is the dalil for the Hanabila and Shawafi and others who took it to be obligatory, took it to be a shart? What is the dalil? إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَكُلِّ مْرِ مَا نَوَى. يعني this famous hadith, first in Bukhari, all of us memorizes this. It is the dalil for the niyyah for almost every amal. So, for example, in salah, the Hanafiyya and everybody agrees and niyyah is يعني obligatory, it's shart for salah. But why did they differentiate? They said, well, the niyyah for salah is fard, even though there is no hadith that says a niyyah fi salah. And they use the same dalil, innama al-amal bin niyat, because they said the salah is a ibadah in itself. But they said a niyyah is not a shart for wudu, because they said the niyyah is for ibadat that are ibadat in themselves, taklifi, not wad'i, not those ibadat that just get you to an ibadah, and wudu is just there for you to be able to make your salah. Tayyib. So, dalil, but is it correct? Let's go back and evaluate that statement. Is wudu only legislated for you to be able to make salah? For example, facing the qibla. You face the Qibla for Salah. طيب. Do you face the Qibla just regularly for no reason and get reward for it? No. I mean, you don't just, you're sitting and you're eating, I'm going to face the Qibla. Okay, I'm good now. Right? No. Right? So facing the Qibla is shart for Salah. But it's not a ibadah in itself. That is correct. طيب. Wudu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he instructed us to perform wudu before sleeping. And he said, for the one who performs wudu, hadith is Hassan, before sleeping, there is a malik, an angel that makes dua for him till he wakes up. There's another hadith that his ruh goes and makes wudu, but that's a weak hadith. That is a very weak hadith. We're not gonna, but the hadith about the malik, this is a Hassan rawaya. Tayyib, when you go to sleep, are you making salah in your sleep? Huh? But do you make wudu? Tayyib. Do you get reward just for making wudu without necessitating that it's for salah? Are there a hadith that mention that when you make wudu, that don't mention salah, when you make wudu and the water that drips from your limbs, it takes away the sins? Yes. On the day of judgment, Rasulullah said he will recognize his ummah from the shining limbs from wudu. Did he connect that wudu with salah? Tayyib. What about the one who gets angry? Rasulullah told him, is it for salah? You got to go make salah? No. Tayyib. So when we look at these, then we find out that wudu is an ibadah in itself. When you're going to sleep and you make wudu, it's not because you're going to make salah. Because when you go to sleep at night and you wake up in the morning, your wudu is invalid. You're not going to make fajr with it. If you wake up for qiyam al-layl, you still have to make a fresh wudu for salah. So this means that this opinion is wrong. يعني بأدلة, with respect. يعني we respect the ulama, but we respect the correct opinion and the haq more. So what is correct is that a niyyah is obligatory. Is it a rukn or a wajib? La. It is a shart. If you forgot your niyyah on accident, you just didn't make niyyah, you were just walking through, you thought about wudu, but then you didn't make niyyah for wudu, la, your salah is, it's not a wajib. Your wudu is invalid. Tayyib. How long has the dars been going? 22 minutes. We'll stop here, inshallah. We have a very interesting aspect about how to make niyyah for the fard and nafil, and what about if you make niyyah for a fard, for example, ghusl, and then it's Jum'ah, do you have to make another one for mustahab? That will be in the next dars, inshaAllah ta'ala. Jazakum Allahu khairan.